Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? For those that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and we are just so grateful to see each and every one of you this morning. I see some faces that I've never had the opportunity to meet you, so we just greet all of our guests and just so grateful, so glad that you're here with us this morning. Well, one of the things we do every Sunday is we take a moment and we give a warm welcome to those who listen online and in cyber world. So let's welcome our online church members. We love you and we appreciate you. We thank God for you. Today we are in the third week of our Four Things I Wish You Knew About God series. Four Things I Wish You Knew About God. And I felt led to teach this series because so many people have developed their own opinions, their own ideas, their own beliefs about God. And so what happens is, you know, can get confusing, right? As we try to wade through all of these differing thoughts, sometimes it can just be a little bit overwhelming, a little bit frustrating. And so instead of depending on people's perceptions of God, what I want to do is I want to share some things from His Word that describe who He actually is and what He has in store for us. And so I'm going to jump right into the message this morning. The thing I wish you knew about God is this, and that is God wants to lead you. God wants to lead you. Why don't you look to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God wants to lead you. Tell your second choice, God wants to lead you. In your service guide, there's a sermon outline. I'd love it if you'd take it out, follow along, take some notes with us. This is also available on our church app if you prefer to do this digitally on your phone. But here's what I want you to understand. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And what he wants to do is he wants to lead us. He wants to direct us so that we will fulfill our destiny. Psalms 37:23 tells us, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. God directs our steps. He directs the paths of those who follow Him, and He delights in the details of our lives. And so many of us, as we journey through life, we struggle with understanding God's will. And here's what I've come to find is that we're not nearly aware of His guiding voice as we should be. In fact, it's safe to say that most people in this room can probably only name a handful of times when they would say without hesitation, I knew right at that moment that God was leading me. Like, I know He led me to meet this person, or He led me to go to this church, or He led me to marry this individual, or God tried to tell me not to marry this one, but I didn't listen. Don't raise your hand if that was you, all right? All right? We don't have marriage counseling after service today, okay? But I believe that God desires to help us by directing our steps each and every day. And that's why one of the points in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave us to use as an outline in our prayer time says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, we are to pray, God, what can I do today that will further your kingdom? Lord, reveal your will to me. Show me your plan and let me walk into it. And so we need to hone our abilities and we need to learn to hear His voice. So this morning I want to give you three steps to be led by God. Three important steps necessary to be led by God. Here's the first one. The first step, the first blank in your outline is this. If you're taking notes, number one, it's commitment. Everybody say commitment. Commitment. If we're going to be successful at anything in life, it's imperative that we learn the discipline of commitment. Because being led by God is really all about committing ourselves to learning and finding out what His plan is. It's about discovering what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. I open this message by sharing Psalms 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of our lives. But one of the things I want you to understand, it's important for us that as we read through the pages of this book, as we read through the Bible, every verse is surrounded by other verses that complement each other. We shouldn't ever just read one verse of scripture and think, well, that's all that the Bible has to say about that subject. Typically, the surrounding verses add layers of texture and they shed insight and an additional meaning to other verses in the chapter. So earlier in Psalms 37, there's a key verse that actually will help bring this verse 23 into a deeper place of clarity. And here's what Psalms 37:5 says. It says, commit, there's our word, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Commit. This really is the foundation. It is the first step towards hearing the voice of God and being led by him. I remember growing up as a small child, and really as I grew into, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, wanting so badly to be a musician and to be a singer. And we lived, my parents pastored a church up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in the UP, and the choir from our home church here in Wisconsin, they released an album on cassette tape. Now, for those of you that are like under the age of 30, I probably need to tell you what that is. It was this little plastic cartridge that had this roll of media on it, and they would actually put music. Now you just pull music out of the thin air, right? But back in the day, like, you used to have to carry these little cartridges and around. But I had this tape, and in fact, I was talking to Tiffany about this a few weeks ago. Her parents both sang solo parts on that recording, and I would spend hours and hours in my room sitting at the keyboard playing those songs over and over and over again, and I'd try to figure out what key the songs were in and how to play the parts. And I can't even begin to tell you how many hours that I spent behind that piano playing scales and trying to learn how to play the chord progressions. I wanted to worship and glorify God with this calling that I felt on my life. But I'm just going to be super honest with you, transparent. I also practiced hard because I thought if I was really good that the girls would like me more. Thank you, Jonte. I said amen. I eventually discovered that being a musician didn't help me at all when it came to the girls. I mean, some of the stupid things we tell ourselves when we were younger. But for a period of about 10 years, I was persistent and I worked diligently to build and grow my musical abilities. And that dedication paid off. God used that commitment. He used all of those hours of practice to really open so many doors in my life. I've been so blessed. I've been privileged to have incredible opportunities in life, all because of one thing, because I committed myself to the process. And so one of the main reasons that we're not led by God, because I think a lot of us would say, yeah, I want to be led by God. Yeah, I want to hear his voice. Well, one of the main reasons that we're not led by God is because we lack the commitment. Truthfully, if I'm just going to make it blunt and just throw it out there for you, we don't really want it bad enough. And so if we're going to be led by God, if we're going to hear his voice, it's imperative that we buckle down and we commit to learning what his voice sounds like. In fact, in one place in Scripture, it says, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. We learn what his voice sounds like. And every successful person in the world, artists and musicians and athletes and business people and communicators, they all became successes based on their commitment. They exhibited an unwavering passion for whatever it is that they pursue in life. And this is what happens so many times in our lives is casual observers will look at someone up on the stage, you know, kind of rocking out a guitar solo or belting out a great vocal line, or they'll look at someone that's out on the field of play in competition, and they'll look at that person dominating others, and they'll say things like, well, if only I had that kind of talent. Any of you ever wondered that before? Like, if only I would have been gifted that way. But what happens is someone with a trained eye is able to look beyond the stage. They're able to look beyond the field, and they can see the countless hours spent practicing while others were playing or others were wasting away the hours on video games or social media. Steve Jobs said it this way, if you really look closely, most overnight successes take a long time. And so what I want to do is I want to give you a couple of areas where you can kind of hone in and focus your commitment. The first one is this, the next blank in your outline is commit to his word. Commit to his word. If you want to hear God's voice, you must first learn and discover it through his written word. The vocabulary that the Holy Spirit uses to speak to us is found throughout the pages of this book. And I love John chapter 1, verse 1. It's really an important verse of scripture in the Bible. This is what it says. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I want you to understand this morning. You cannot separate God from his Word. Often, though, when we read through the Bible, if you're anything like me, there are times that we think, well, man, I know I was supposed to read and I read that, but I didn't really get anything out of it. And we have a tendency when those days happen that we just kind of give up and we walk away frustrated. But I just want to encourage you for a moment. Imagine what our lives would be like if we did that in other areas of our lives. Imagine when we learned to walk the first time we fell and said, well, I ain't ever doing that again, right? Or riding our bike or tying our shoes or reading or playing ball or, you know, let's make it more adult, you know, working construction or drawing blood as a nurse or graphic design. And all of those things, every single thing that you do in life, we never succeeded the very first time. We failed and we fell short, but we didn't simply walk away and never try again. No, we got back up and we brushed ourselves off and we got back to it. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, God spoke through the prophet. And this is what he said. It is the same with my word. I sent it out and it always, everybody say always, always produces fruit. God's word always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to. And it will prosper, watch this, everywhere I send it. His word will not return void. There will be a day that the things in Scripture perhaps that you read and didn't understand will come back to you and they'll speak to you with clarity. Listen, the Word of God is never wasted. And so when we commit to reading and when we commit to meditating on it, when we commit to studying, right? We talked a little bit about our soaping. If you're not soaping and this is your church home, I think this is the third time in 4 weeks that I've mentioned it. Listen, go through soaping is our daily Bible reading thing that we encourage everyone in the church to do. It's one chapter a day and you can get, we've got free journals and we've got people in the back that can explain it to you after service. But listen, if you'll do that, you will learn to hear God's voice. God will speak to you each and every day through his word. A few weeks ago after service, actually I think I see him here this morning, I was introduced to a young man named Solomon who Tom Kennedy invited to church. And as I spoke with him for the first time, I was immediately struck by his accent. And I was like, man, should I say that? I didn't want to be rude, but I just, I had to. And so I said, man, you have such a distinct accent. Would you mind sharing with me your heritage? Because after making several trips to visit my parents who have been missionaries for the last 22 years in West Africa, I was almost certain that I knew where he was from. And I took one guess and I guessed the wrong country. But he proceeded to tell me that his family lineage goes back to Ghana, which is located, guess where? In West Africa, right? And in the same way, and I just use that little analogy in the same way, if we'll familiarize ourselves with the voice of God in the Bible, in the written word, what'll happen is when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you're immediately going to recognize, oh, I've heard that voice before. Yes, God, I hear you. Yes, God, I'm listening. Tell me what you want me to hear. And so if you're going to be led by God, you've got to make a commitment to hearing his voice through his word. First, we commit to his word. Secondly, here's the second point under commit. We commit to obeying his voice. Everybody's favorite word, obeying, right? Commit to obeying his voice. Let me unlock a secret for you here this morning. The more faithful that we are in obeying what he tells us to do in his word, the more direction that we're going to get in the future. If I don't listen to the instructions that he's already given me, there's not much more reason to get deeper direction, right? I don't know if you ever trained someone at work, right? But you've trained them and you tell them how to do it and then they're not doing it right and they come, well, I want to do more. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to teach you more because you're not doing the little thing I told you right to do the first time, right? And I think it's the same way with God. God's saying, hey, I've given you a list of things to do. So many of us have had more revelation than we've ever had obedience. Right? And we're wanting God to give us more. And God's like, well, I'll give you more, but when are you going to be obedient to the things that I've asked you to do? So many people want the deeper things, but they're not willing to do the things that they already know to do. Well, God, you know, we'll say, you know, God, can't you just open the door to my dreams, God? And God's like, well, you know, Andrew, I want to, you know, brother, I want to, sister, I want to, but the dreams aren't possible if you won't open your heart and do the basic things, the little things that I placed before you. So let me give you some examples of what this looks like in our lives. And I know as we read through soap and do our soaping, like there are things that I come across. I'm like, man, God, I wish that wasn't in there. Oh, come on, I'm not the only one in church that's thought that. Right? But we come across things. Romans 12:15 tells us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. But that's not a natural response. How many of you know this to be true? When things aren't going our way. It's hard to celebrate someone else's breakthrough when you're not having a breakthrough of your own. When everything's going wrong for you, it seems unnatural to be happy for someone else's blessing. I remember just earlier this year, we had Brian and Crystal Sparks, or actually last year, we had Brian and Crystal Sparks, our overseers here from Roy City, Texas, and they were here and they were sharing some of the things that God was doing, and they had bought a building, they were building a building, and so I think just about 4 weeks ago or three or four Sundays ago, they moved into their building. They had been mobile just like we had for 4.5+ years, and the week before they were to move into their building, they were all walking around. We're connected to a bunch of them on social media, and they were all walking around with their phones and say, man, this is the last time we're going to set up these speakers, and this is the last time we're going to set up the lights and the projectors and walking around kids' ministry. Yeah, it's the last time we have to set this up and tear this down. And as I'm watching these videos, like, my heart is just overcome, and I have tears running down. I was so excited and so thankful for what God was doing in their lives, but we must be obedient to what God asks us to do in his word. It's an act of faith when you rejoice in someone else's blessing. When we rejoice in someone else's blessing, what we're doing is we're saying, you know what? I know, God, that you have the same thing for me. And I may not see it right now, but I know that my blessing is coming. So in the meantime, God, I'm just gonna rejoice, and I'm gonna thank you, Lord, for blessing my brother and my sister. That's how this works. Here's another one. James 1:2 instructs us to consider it an opportunity for great joy when troubles come our way. How many of you love that verse, right? God isn't saying that we should be happy for the trials in our lives. But what is he doing? He's telling us the reason that we should take joy is that we're going to have an opportunity to see a miracle happen in our lives. We take joy in trouble because we're in a position now that we can see God do something great. Now, obviously, that's not the typical human response. We have to train ourselves to react in the way that God directs us in his word and to be obedient. And when we train ourselves in all the different areas found in this book, it becomes a whole lot easier to hear and recognize his voice when he speaks to us. This is what Jesus said in Luke 16:10. He said, if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. So many of us, we're waiting for God to do the big thing, and he's waiting for us to do the little one first. The blessing's already there. I want you to understand the provision is already there. The answer to the big thing you're praying is already there, but are you being obedient to the other things that he's spoken to you? Being led by God and hearing his voice all starts with us being obedient in doing the little things, and the little things require practice. I recently saw an interview with retired NBA great Kobe Bryant, never one of my favorite players, but I was really struck by this interview. And he was asked by the person hosting if he missed playing NBA basketball, and he laughed. I kind of thought he'd say, yeah, you know, my body feel, you know, he still, you know, probably looks, he looks like he could go out there and play. He said, no, I don't miss it. He went on to say, I don't miss making 1,000 shots every single day to be prepared to play the game. And so it's important that we practice the little things, because otherwise we won't ever get it right on the big stage. A lot of people will say things like, well, I'll wait to hear from God when the big stuff comes around. But listen, if you're not hearing from God with the little things, you're never going to hear him or see him in the big ones. So three steps to be led by God. First one is commitment. Here's the second one. Number two, it's trust. It's trust. Trust is the essential piece. Trust is the foundation of all relationships. Psalms 37:5, again, watch this. Commit everything you do to the Lord. There it is. Trust him and he will help you. A lot of people don't really want to be led by God because they're afraid that God is going to tell them to do something they don't want to do. Have you ever been there before? I kind of want to say, Lord, I'm available, but I'm kind of afraid what you're going to say, that I got to give up. You know what I got to do, right? Pastor, you know, like, if I start reading my Bible and if I start praying a lot, I'm afraid I'm going to be one of those Jesus freaks. You know, I'm going up to people's doors at 9 o'clock at night. I'm afraid if I do those things, God's going to call me into the ministry. Maybe you're a single guy here this morning. You might say, well, I'm afraid if I pray and listen to the Lord, he's going to make me marry that girl who's ugly just because she prays a lot. You may think that I'm joking, but there are many people who are afraid that God's going to make them do something that they don't want to do. And so instead, here's what they do, and it's so sad, they choose to follow him from afar. Yes, they love Jesus, but they never really go all in, and as such, they settle for so much less in life. And listen, if that's the way you feel this morning, let me tell you that you have a total misunderstanding of who God is, because God knows you better than you even know yourself. Scripture tells us that he's the one who formed you. He knit you together. He put you together. He put all your giftings inside of you in your mother's womb. He knows how you're wired. He knows the things that make you tick. He knows what's going to bring life to you. And you can rest assured that God is never going to put you into something that you're going to hate. All great leaders take the time to discover the personalities and the strengths, the abilities, and the temperaments of those on their teams. If a leader is to succeed long-term, they will move team members into positions where their natural abilities fit best. And that's exactly what God does in our lives. He will put us in places where our giftings and our charis can be used, in places that we have been designed to succeed. Yes, he's going to stretch you, and he's going to stretch us. He's going to call us to deeper levels and higher, excuse me, to deeper places and higher levels, but if we're going to be led by God, we've got to trust him. Everybody say, trust him. Let me quickly share three things that we need to know about anybody that we put our trust in. Three things that we need to know about anyone that we put our trust in. The first one is this: they must have my best interests at heart. They must have my best interests at heart. Watch this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good." Everybody say good. "And not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And I want you to hear this again. God has a plan for your future, and it is a good plan that is full of hope. And I want you to know that the Lord is the only one that you'll ever encounter who 100% of the time always has your best interest in mind. Are you thankful for that today? The second thing that we need from those we put our trust in is they must possess abilities or resources that I don't have. They must possess abilities or resources that I don't have. There are some people, and you probably maybe even have one in your family, but you know, they're lovely people. But even though they're lovely people, you don't really trust them with much because they can't do much. And it's hard to put your trust in someone if you know that they don't have the ability to do the job, if it's beyond their ability to do what you need them to do. And I want you to just, this is a longer portion of scripture, but I want you to listen to what Job writes and pens about God. In Job 26, he says, God stretches the northern sky over empty space, and he hangs the earth on nothing. Pretty impressive, right? Verse 8, he wraps the rain in his thick clouds, yet the clouds don't burst with the weight. He covers the face of the moon, shrouding it with his clouds. He created the horizon when he separated the waters. He set the boundary between day and night. The foundations of heaven tremble. They shudder at his rebuke. By his power, the sea grew calm. By his skill, he crushed the great sea monster. His spirit made the heavens beautiful, and his power pierced the gliding serpent. These are just the beginning. Everybody say, just the beginning. These are just the beginning of all that he does, merely a whisper of his power. And so the reason I read that passage is I want you to understand there is nothing that God cannot do. Job says all of these amazing things, as great as that is, and how powerful must you be to hang the earth and suspend it on nothing, these are just the beginning of what he does. And as such, I want you to know that the issues in our lives are no problem for him. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Amen. Here's the third measure of whether or not someone is worthy of trust. They must demonstrate unselfish concern for me. They must demonstrate unselfish concern for me. When it comes to the Lord, this is so easy to see. All we have to do is look at the cross. All we have to do is look at what Jesus did for us, Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I can trust God because he robed himself in flesh. He came to earth to pay the debt that I owed. So three steps to be led by God. First, we must make the commitment to learn and hear his voice. Second, we must trust him. And then here's the last one, number three, we must instantly respond. Instantly respond. Often God will open the door of opportunity, but it doesn't look anything at all like the picture of the dream that he's placed in your heart. Even when God gives us a glimpse of the future dream, typically God will only show us the first step to take. And it's so small oftentimes. It seems so insignificant that we're quick to dismiss it, that we're quick to disregard it. We'll say, you know what, God, that's not what you showed me. I'm just gonna sit back and I'm gonna wait until that day comes. And I think the reason that God only gives us a small picture, a small step at a time, is that if he showed us the entire journey, most of us would quit before we even started. Hebrews 11:6 really wraps together the three main points of this message. This is what it says. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do you see it? We must respond without faith. We've got to take the step of faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. There it is. It's trust. We must believe. When we believe, we have trust in him, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's the commit part. If we want to be led by the Spirit of God, we must act decisively in faith when the Holy Spirit leads us. Once again, so many of us struggle. So many of us get into difficulty. We're like, God, it's been so long since I've heard your voice. God's like, yeah, but I've already told you, Andrew, what to do. I already showed you the plan, and there isn't any reason for me to tell you something else until you take that step. As I close this morning, I want to look at Psalms 37, verse 5 in a different translation. It says this, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's a really interesting phrase, this phrase, and it came to pass, and similar variations of this statement appear over and over and over and over again in Scripture. In the King James translation, this phrase alone is used over 100 times. And I believe the reason we read this over and over in Scripture, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, is because God wanted to stress this fact about Himself to us. If we commit and trust in Him, God will bring the promises that He's spoken over our lives to pass. God will do it, but we've got to trust the process. God leads us in steps. And if we're going to follow Him, we've got to be ready to hear His voice. We've got to be ready to take action. So many of us, we mistakenly think that when God opens the door, when He shows us a dream of the future, that we're just going to take this giant leap from point A all the way to point Z in one big jump. But listen, that's not how it works. If we look at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph was the 11th of 12 sons. He had no rights. He had very little heritage, very much to count on. Birth order meant so much in that day. He was loved by his father, but he was hated by his brothers. He had a dream. God had given him a dream, but he was thrown into a pit and left to die. God, that doesn't look like the dream. Then they pulled Joseph out of the pit, because they felt bad about leaving him to die, but then they sell him to a traveling group of traders. God, this doesn't look like the dream. Eventually, Joseph is taken to Egypt, where he is sold and bought as a slave. God, this doesn't look like the dream. But there he put his head down and he prospered in the home that he was sold to, and eventually he was put in charge of everything. Once again, though, away from home, away from family. God, this doesn't look like the dream. Then Joseph was falsely accused. He was thrown into jail. God, what are you doing here? God, this doesn't look like the dream that you gave me. But in jail, he prospered. And eventually, Scripture tells us that he was placed in charge of the prison. But yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's nice that you think of me that way. But I'm still in prison, God. This isn't the dream that you showed me. While in jail, he interprets the dreams of two high up in the government prisoners. And those dreams come to pass, and he told those guys, hey, don't forget about me when you leave here. But yet he was forgotten, and he was left in jail again. He remained faithful until called on to interpret the king of Egypt's dreams. And I don't know about you, but if this was me, I'd be like, I ain't interpreting no one's stinking dreams because my dreams haven't come to pass. Can I just be real with you? Like so many of us, we get in that place and God's calling us to take a step. And God, I don't want to serve anyone else. I don't want to do any things you call me to do. I do because you've not come through for me. But still he was willing. And by the power of God, he was not only able to interpret these terrible dreams that the Egyptian king had, but he gave a solution to remedy the upcoming famine. And this led to him instantly being promoted to the second most powerful man in the world. And what happens if you read the latter part of Joseph's story in the book of Genesis, it looks like one day he makes this giant leap from prison to the palace, but it wasn't that at all. Because that end point of the story couldn't have been possible without every step in the journey. Without Joseph making the best out of every situation and committing to each stop and say, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to be faithful. God, I don't understand why you got me here, but I'm going to be faithful. God, I don't know why you separated me from my family, but I'm going to trust you. Every step was essential. In my life, I can look back over all the steps that I've taken. Some of the steps I've taken were, you know, I was a child, I didn't even have the choice to make the steps, but moving to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, where I had to learn to play and had to learn to sing because there was no one else in the church that could do it, to coming to my home church in Oak Creek, then going to Africa and then back to Oak Creek and then from there to a full-time job in Potts Camp, Mississippi. For goodness sakes, God, what are you doing, God? There's cows in the middle of my front yard, God. This doesn't look anything like the dream that you put before me. from Mississippi to Bloomington, Indiana, from Bloomington, Indiana to Palm Bay, Florida, where we thought God was calling us to plant the Lifeway Church in Florida. I promise you it's a lot warmer there today than it is here. From Florida back to Wisconsin. And I had no idea that it was all going to unfold this way, but guess what? This is what I've learned, is every step was essential for the next door to open. And that's the way your life is going to be. God isn't going to give you all of the information. He just gives you one open door to walk through at a time. And the step is not going to be everything that you dreamed of, but yet it's going to be necessary to unlock the next part of your journey. So those of you here this morning, some of you, years ago, God spoke something to you that you still haven't been obedient about. Maybe it's something you've been wrestling with just even the last few weeks or the last few months. Regardless of what it is, I challenge you, take that step. The reason it seems as if God has gotten quiet is because he's waiting on you and he's waiting on me to make the move. And as we're obedient and as we instantly respond by walking through open doors, listen, the voice of God and his leading is going to become increasingly louder and louder and louder in our ears. A story is told of a man who dared God to speak. The man said, "Burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow you. Collapse the walls of Jericho like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight for you. Calm the waves like you did on the Sea of Galilee for the disciples, God, and I will be sure to listen to you." And so the man sat by a bush near a wall close to the sea, and he waited for God to speak. And God heard the man. And so God answered. He sent fire, not for a bush, but for a church. He brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin and shame and condemnation. He stilled the storm, not of the sea, but storms inside of mankind's soul. And God waited for the man to respond, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. But because the man was looking at bushes and not hearts, because he was looking at bricks and not lives, because he was looking at the sea and not souls, he decided that God had done nothing. And finally, he looks up to the heaven and he cries out to God and says, "God, have you lost your power?" And God simply looked down at him and said, "Have you lost your hearing?" God is constantly speaking. And he desires to lead us. He desires to guide us. And the question this morning is, are we going to stop long enough to listen? Will we commit to the process? Will we trust in him? Will we respond instantly in faith? With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, there are those sitting here in this room this morning. Your first step in following the leading of God's voice is to answer the knock on the door of your heart. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you've made so many mistakes. You've hurt others that you've loved. You maybe are sitting here and you've even hurt yourself. You feel guilty and ashamed over the bad choices, the bad decisions you made. Listen, this morning you can leave here washed clean. You can leave here with a fresh start. All you've got to do this morning is receive what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary when he died to pay for the bad things that you've done, for the sins that you've committed. All you've got to do is you've got to repent. And all repent is, it's a biblical word which simply means to say you're sorry for your sins and make an about face and head the other direction. Stop going your own way and instead move towards God. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're ready to make that first step of repentance and give your life to Jesus, if you're ready to return back to him, perhaps you've drifted far away from him after going your own way. If you're ready to make that step today, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand? Is there anybody here that says, yes, God, I'm ready to make that step? Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many hands lifted. Thank you. I see you in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you loved me enough to come to earth and pay the penalty that I deserve. And Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord, I receive the gift of what you did for me at Calvary. Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Lord, from this moment, Lord God, I make the choice to stop going my own direction. Instead, Lord, I move towards you. Thank you for a fresh start. Thank you for a new life, Jesus. Lord God, I pray over those that are in this room here that maybe have been walking with you for a very long time, but for whatever reason, they've stopped being obedient. They've stopped committing to hear your voice. They've stopped doing those things, Lord God, in which you like to speak to us. Lord, I pray that you draw us back to that place. Lord, I pray that your gentle spirit of conviction would move around this room, because there is somebody sitting here that said, God, it's been so long since I've heard you speak to me. It's been so long since I've heard your voice. Lord, would you take them back to the last place that you spoke? And Lord God, would you help them to be obedient to the thing that you called them to do in that moment? Lord God, you want to speak to us constantly. Lord God, you're trying to lead us and guide us. And so, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that at the end of the days, when we stand before you, Lord God, that we would recognize your voice, because we've spent the time to learn it and to hear it. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.